Our scripture reading will be taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 13, starting at verse number 32 and going to the conclusion of the chapter, verse number 37. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch.
As we begin our study this morning, notice that Jesus had something very important to say to those that were willing to listen. Earlier in the chapter, we're told that Peter, James, John, and Andrew came to Jesus privately as they were upon the Mount of Olives. And they began to ask a very important question. And I know that there are questions that we all want to ask, some that we may never know the answer to, but something that is always preying on our minds. When you go back to the very beginning of the chapter, there in verse 3, we're told that they said privately, and in verse 4, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled? When will the end of time be? That's something that I'm sure a lot of us are curious about, but some of us might say, well, I'm awfully glad that I do not know, because we don't want to dread it, or maybe there are some things that we need to take care of that perhaps we're not looking forward to. But we do not know the particular day, time, and hour. Jesus did not say, I'm going to be coming on this day at this time and in this year. Instead, as the chapter unfolds and we have just learned, Jesus says that we need to be ready at all times. Have you ever learned that if you know that something is coming, you begin to worry about it? You know it's going to happen whether you want it to or not, and then you begin to get all upset because maybe you're not ready to do something, a school project, a work project, a deadline that has to be met. There are things that we need to do, and the more we think about it, the more we worry. But you know, Jesus taught us that we should not worry about these things. In the Gospel of Matthew, in the 6th chapter, there beginning in verse 25, notice what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 25, he says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But in verse 33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus says clearly that we should not worry, because if we do what God says, everything else will be taken care of. Finally, in verse 34, the connection is made. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We can't worry about tomorrow. Have you ever seen tomorrow? I haven't. I have not even seen yesterday. Those days are long gone. But I can only see today. And therefore, I have to make the most of what I have today. Why? Because I know that Jesus is coming again. Remember that Jesus promised that. Remember what he said to Thomas in the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter? As Thomas was coming to Jesus and asking him important questions by night. Later, he knew not know the way to get unto God. But Jesus said in verse 3 of John chapter 14, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus said very clearly, yes, I am coming again. And people begin to wonder, what do we know about the second coming of Christ? Well, we do know a little bit. We know how Christ is coming again, because we also know how he went into heaven. Remember, after Jesus completed the task that was left for him to do, after his death and his burial, and now he is getting ready to ascend back into heaven. Luke records these things in the book of Acts, chapter 1. And in Acts, chapter 1, Jesus gives his disciples their final instructions. And after the things that he said to them, in verse 9, we're told that when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly into heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? For the same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. They were told how Jesus was coming back. You saw him go up into heaven in the clouds, and that's the same way he was going to come back. Daniel prophesied that in chapter 7 of his book, and then the gospel writers record the very words of Jesus regarding that in Matthew, Mark, and in Luke. But then, as John was also writing upon the Isle of Patmos of the things that he began to see, in his book of Revelation, I think you'll find it very interesting that what Daniel saw was also what was going to take place. In chapter 1 and in verse 7 of the book of Revelation, he says, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. John says, yes, he is coming again, and everyone will see him, and every tribe will mourn because of him. You wonder, why will some mourn? Because many will not be ready when Christ comes again. And that's what Jesus is trying to stress. It doesn't matter when I come. What matters is that you will be ready. You'll notice that here in our text in Mark chapter 13, Jesus gave an example of when he might come back. Did you notice there and in verse 35, He says that he could come in the evening. He could come in the morning. He could come at midnight. He could even come at the crowing of the rooster. And I know those of us that are here that have lived on a farm know that that can be very, very early. Or that can also be very, very late. Jesus said, what matters is that I am coming, but it does not matter when. It doesn't matter when because we do not know. It could come upon us and take us by surprise. In fact, the Apostle Paul said the very same thing to those in Thessalonica. In his first letter to the Thessalonians, there in chapter 5, notice what he had to say beginning in verse 1. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, he says, concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. If you were with us last week, you'll recall that we studied about how we all were once in darkness, but God called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. And as we are walking in the light and no longer in the darkness, the light helps us to see a little bit better. We can better watch for the Lord to come again. We're always ready if He should come as a thief. Thieves come unexpectedly, do they not? We never call ahead or ask a thief when would be a good time to come, but instead they always watch for us. They want to know when will a person not be ready? When will somebody be asleep? When will they not be home? When will they not be alert? And therefore we have to always be ready. Peter said it this way. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 10, he says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. He says things can happen very, very quickly. In fact, as they begin to happen, we won't even know the difference. Perhaps everything seems just like it always was. We have a sense of normalcy, and that's exactly how it's going to be when Jesus decides to come again. In the Gospel of Matthew, the 24th chapter, there and in verse 36, Jesus said words very similar to what Mark records here in Mark chapter 23. Here Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 36, of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. He says very clearly, everything is going to seem just as it always was. But since the people did not know it's when the flood was going to come upon the earth during the days of Noah, until it was too late and they tried to get in and could not, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. He said then in verse 43, know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. See, Jesus did not tell us when, but he does tell us how. And the important thing is that we are always ready. Do you remember of one example Jesus used of how to be ready? Perhaps you might think of Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish, yet all were invited to become a part of the wedding. But those that were foolish were unprepared. And while they were gone to get the things that they should have had, like the wise already had, was when the bridegroom came. The very hour that they did not expect. So what can we do to be sure that we are ready whenever the Lord decides again? Well, the first thing we must do is to watch. What do you do when you watch for something? Usually you set your eyes fixed on something, doesn't it? You want to see clearly what is going to take place. You want to gaze intently. Find your favorite spot to be sure that you're not going to miss what is going to happen. And perhaps the very moment you take your eyes off of something is when you miss it. I was out yesterday, and if I didn't look at the right moment, I would not have seen a deer lying down. If I was looking for that, I would have watched because I would have seen it. But the minute if I looked away and didn't expect it, perhaps that would have been the time when the deer would have shown up and I would have missed that. Well, Paul told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Let us always be alert, not sleeping, because if he should come and find us asleep, we will be in deep trouble. We also have to watch remaining firm in our faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, there in verse 13, the Apostle Paul said this, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. A Christian watches when he remains faithful. When he is living the kind of life that God has called him to live. One that is ready perhaps to ward off any adversary. One that is serious about getting to heaven and working very hard to achieve that result. Similarly, Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 8, he said, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You see, if we're not watching, if we're not alert, if we're not careful, we can easily be led back into the ways of the world. Therefore, we have to watch. And if we're not careful, we can get sucked back into the world and all its evil deeds. But it's something that we can do to keep strengthening ourselves. We all have our advantages and our disadvantages, and we all need to work on those things that we are weak in. As John was writing the book of Revelation, there in chapter 3, recall that the angel of the church has something to say to those in Sardis. He said in Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, these things says he who has the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Jesus said we must watch to strengthen the things that we are weak in. Because if we do not watch, he'll come and take us by surprise, and by then it will be too late. later in the book of Revelation in chapter 16. There in verse 15, again, he records the words of Jesus, "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." You see, those who watch and keep their garments are called blessed. Why? Because they are pure, they are ready. When Christ should come again, they will enter into eternal life. But you know, watching only goes so far. It's good that we are alert. It is good that we are ready. But we also want him to find us working. We want to be doing something, not being idle. We want to have a good report so that we can indeed receive that reward. In the Gospel of Luke in chapter 21, there and in verse 36, Jesus said, very similar to what Mark records earlier. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 36, he says, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Remember that conversation that Jesus had in our text there in the Gospel of Mark? In chapter 13, Jesus explained what things were shortly going to come to pass. And he says to watch and pray that you can be worthy to escape these things. The world is going to enter into much trouble, is it not? But if we are alert, if we are watching, and we are praying unto God, he says we'll be able to stand before the Son of Man. There is power in prayer, is there not? The Bible teaches us that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Yes, prayer does avail much. Prayer can help us through the most difficult circumstances. And as Paul was explaining to the church at Ephesus, he said in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 18, to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. He says, pray fervently. Pray with the supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. God wants us to know that indeed we are ready. And we are ready when we are constantly watching and we are constantly praying. In Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 2, Paul said there to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. You may recall that he said something very similar to those in Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, he said to pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Jesus has done his part. He has forewarned us that, yes, he is coming again. In fact, he's done his part to get us ready. He died on the cross for our sins, sacrificed his body, shed his sinless blood, and was risen again to give us all that hope of eternal life. But the rest is up to us. Are we going to be obedient to the gospel? Well, when? Well, we don't know when he's coming again. It could be in the next few seconds, the next few minutes, the next few hours, the next few days, perhaps even in the next few years. But we always need to be ready. We can be ready by being obedient to the gospel, by watching, being on the alert, by living faithfully, by continuing to pray to him for his guidance and his encouragement. Let us therefore be thankful that when he does come again, we will be ready to meet him. And if we are ready, we will live eternally with him. Are you ready this morning? If not, we're just about to sing a song of encouragement. If you need to respond to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing.